Hey everybody, it's Cage. By now you know that Lucas Tigers and Bronze podcast is sponsored by PWCC, and you've probably already heard our weekly PWCC episode. But did you know that you can now bid on the weekly and premier auctions straight from the PWCC mobile app? It's the easiest way to bid on cards, make offers in the fixed price marketplace, track your submissions, and view your vault portfolio. So join the thousands of people who are already placing bids using the mobile app. It's available on both Apple and Android devices. Thanks, everybody, and enjoy the episode. You have the Kobe Bryant jersey.
Episode 700, Cage. No small task. 2 years, almost two full years of me and the big guy hopping on a daily basis, bringing you guys some banter. Some good vibes, maybe a little bit of, you know, lessons or advice or some things that we're figuring out on our own. And it's been an amazing ride. So cheers to you. Cheers to our Lucas Tigers and Bronze team. Cheers to our audience. Cheers to our sponsors. Cheers to everyone we've crossed paths with that we either love, we admire, we respect, we've learned something from. Thank you, every single person that's been a part of the journey of Lucas Tigers and Bronze, episode 700. And we have the fracture report brought to you.
Well,
by
I think it makes sense here. You know, we got the fractional report before the opening bell. Our longest standing partner. You know, we've got partnerships with a bunch of folks. You know, Cardporn likes to tell you that you're a sponsor trophy collector, and I'm not going to say they're wrong. You know, you like having those trophies, but what I will say is this: collectibles have been with us for a long time, so you know it makes sense. 700 episode, whatever you like. Gary V was on for episode 666. You can read into that whatever you like, also, or nothing.
so you're not doing anything. 700 doesn't mean much to you.
Let's see. What am I gonna do to celebrate episode 700? I'm probably gonna go for a walk afterwards. Maybe miss the first quarter of the game. You know.
You're kind of a lone wolf. Like, the way you celebrate is by buying assets that you're going to take to the grave with yourself or pass to Ian. That's maybe your celebration.
Maybe. Listen, I got lots of things to celebrate. You know, June is a fun month. You know, summer is upon us, and my pool is now in full swing. Still a little too cold for me to go in, believe it or not. The kids love it. I went in a little bit. It's still a little too cold. You know, when I got up to the D's, That was where I stopped.
These
nuts. Yeah, that one. It was too cold on that, man. Man, I can't believe you walked right into that. Holy cow! You are the best co-host episodes I could ever ask for.
Do you think I walk into it, or do you think maybe you know?
No, I think that one you walked into. I know a lot of times it's doing on purpose. But that one. I don't know. But anyway, the summer is upon us. The backyard is completely done. I moved all my furniture out. I don't have to work. I don't have to do any of that stuff anymore. My son's birthday is this week, so that's a little bittersweet. I'm happy to see that. You know, we finished up some projects this weekend. People will check out my post of his collecting sports cards. I got it right here.
You want to show it?
Cool little post for those of you watching on YouTube who haven't seen it. Look at that. We got some card ladder here. Look, there's Andrew.
Cage, if I'm picking up what you're putting down, you're saying 700 episodes, job's not finished. What are we even celebrating here? Right.
I was waiting for you to say it. You know, I was waiting.
Here you are, you know, clapping from the top of the mountain for Ian gluing stickers and posters to.
Well, this is more for the hobby, right? This is more clapping about the hobby. You know, Ian can glue this stuff, and he'll do plenty of other stuff, and do great. This is more just, you know. We can all say Fanatics is going to bring more people into the hobby. We can all say X, Y, and Z, Drake breaking is going to bring more people into the hobby. I believe that he's going to have some classmates who leave his presentation with some cards and maybe go to the store, maybe go to the store, or maybe their parents will join Card Ladder or Market Movers or whatever it may be.
Well, most people, you have a point though. Most people do enter the hobby. I would say 8 to 14 is a really critical age, because once you're in high school, you're chasing girls, not cards. Everyone's consistently said that, except for Rips. And he actually take a page out of Rips' book. Now he's a millionaire. But
see how that worked?
That 8 to 14 is a really interesting stage where most people, whether they stayed in it afterwards, they had some experience with cards and, you know, going to the LCS ripping packs. So you're right. Is Ian bringing packs? Can we sponsor and buy some packs that
he can packs. Bring? He's bringing packs. He's bringing cards. I've got everything. That. The only thing I'm nervous about, tell me why I'm nervous. I bought some junk wax in addition to a bunch of other things. I bought an 89 Topps baseball box. So no Griffey because, you know, he wasn't into trade.
There's going to be but, the cursed The bat.
So I no, that's Fleer. That's Fleer. I wouldn't send them in with Billy getting a fuckface bat. Yeah. No, not but they're great. Although
repack it, every card is a fuck.
No, but Topps. Yeah, every kid gets one. That's it. I'm gonna get thrown out of school. Yeah, that's. I mean, you're right. It's something I might do. Just every pack.
Slab it. Topps cage lawyer collection.
And put a Fleer Billy Ripken FF error in each pack for each of these, 8 and 9 year olds. No, the 89 Topps, what I'm nervous about is they were still putting gum in the packs then. So here I am, you know, there's a classroom full of 9 year olds opening up packs and eating what amounts to what, 33 year old gum? It might be interesting. I don't think they should be doing that. So hopefully the teacher tells them, don't eat the gum. Go collect the gum.
I mean, if the kids can't figure out gum at 10 years old.
It's not. They figure out gum. They're going to eat the gum.
Huh?
They'll eat it. They'll eat the gum. It's from 1989.
I don't know if chemicals have expiration dates.
All right. Listen, I've eaten gum from the 80s.
It's not like it's an apple.
It turns into straight powder. It just goes straight powder, and it's gone. It's got this weird – it doesn't become gum. It just becomes powder, and then it disappears. It's the weirdest thing on earth. But anyway, yeah, I mean, he's got some stuff to bring in. He's having some fun with it, obviously, and, you know, he's doing some stuff. So, loads of fun.
So, first off, I mean, where do you want to start? So something that I'm thinking a lot about, Cage.
Where do I want to start?
So, there are actually a few buddies of mine recently have reached out to me about buying their first cards in the hobby. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, the cards they bought was a Jerry Rice PSA 8 and a Montana PSA 8 and a Zard PSA 8.
And I like these friends.
You would, but actually, I don't think it's the smartest move, and here's why. I think we just sort of lived through an era of where grading made cards scarce, not cards being scarce made cards being scarce. And if you look at the biggest gainer on the sheet this week, I think it's maybe the worst investment on all of collectible. And that's the silvers of Trey, Zion, Ja, and Luka.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If you look at the value, I think, what's the market cap there on collectible of these four?
35,200 market cap.
And if you bought them on the secondary, it would be 10,000.
Yeah. So this basket we're talking about here is two of each of the Luka, Zion, Ja, Trey. Luka's around 2,000. Zion's around 1,500. Ja's around 1,000. Trey's around 600. Total for about 5,100 times two is about 10,200. The market cap in trading is 35,200.
Right. So what I think we're a funny market, but I think we don't give ourselves enough credit. We're very intelligent. We catch on to things quickly. Maybe some people think not quickly enough, but I think we just saw that these silvers, that a PSA 9 versus a PSA 10. Yeah, we went through this illusion that it's a big deal, but there's infinite supply of those out there. Yep. Right. And I think we're seeing a market correction on silvers and bases of these non-numbered cards where the only differentiator was the grade. And I think we're seeing, I don't think we've maybe have even seen the floor of what these are going to truly be worth. Whereas you take the reverse and you take the LeBron exquisite, that card, no matter the grade, it doesn't really matter, will only have 99 ever printed. So that card in and of itself is scarce for being scarce versus correct. Having a company that authenticates whichever company you have allegiance to making it scarce. And I think that's a little bit from a macro standpoint, what I'm personally seeing in the markets.
I think you're right. You know, and you got to be careful with it, right? I mean, stated numbers versus, you know, alleged SSPs, people are still pumping money as much as it takes us a while to learn. People still pumping money into Prism football at $1,400 per box. You know, people buying Mac Jones and spending $100,000 on a Mac Jones card. Who knows what that guy's going to do?
If anything, SSP, you know? Is not a real thing, though. Like, it's something that I think the eBay generation created for a tagline. Or do manufacturers call something SSP?
So it may be chicken or the egg kind of thing, right? But yeah, I mean, the super short print. Yeah, that's short print SP. Manufacturers have taken it. I think it might have been something that was created by the collector and then adopted by the... But I mean, like, Topps puts short prints and super short prints. You know, I've heard a rumor that the, you know, the Series 2 Topps baseball that comes out next week is going to have a whole bunch of fun, you know, like, super short print stuff in it as well for the rookie class that doesn't have rookies in Series 1. They're not on the checklist either, so let's see what Topps actually does with it. But I guess what we're both... Yeah, I guess what we're... No, definitely not numbered. But, I mean, some of them are rare as hell, you know, like the Juan Soto with the Gatorade. You know, there are various short prints and super short prints of Acuna's rookie. You all know about the bat up versus the bat down. That's short print, but not tiny, but not, you know, it's not numbered. There are plenty of parallels that are also not numbered. Like, I have a Soto Heritage rookie flip stock that there's only five of, but it's not numbered to five. You know, I mean, I would love it if it was. Because somehow, even though there's only five of them, PSA is graded more than five. You know, I mean, that's kind of how it works, right? Because people are trying to bump up their nines to a 10, but you can't get one. I'm the only one that has a 10. So anyway, it's a lot of fun. I know what you're trying to say, and let's cut through it, right? The investments that are on collectible, they are those type of numbered, low pop, you know, Buster Sure talk about museum piece type of items. This silver does not fit that basket. So I think we were both surprised. The silver basket doesn't fit that, you know, that description. I think we were both surprised to see it up 64% this week. I mean, that's just, I mean, I can't.
3.5 times the market cap of it if you bought every one of these items individually. Here's one I do that does make sense. So if you've been listening to our show, I think we're the ones that are on this first, and that's tennis. And before the season started, I said two things. I said, look out for Alcaraz. This is the next kind of Nadal with a Djokovic vibe combined. And I said before the season that Nadal has a chance to pull off winning all four Grand Slams and being far and away the number one player ever played the game. Okay. And this week, his 2003 Net Pro Elite Glossy PSA 10, that one's out of what, 2,000 or 1,000?
I think it's numbered to 1,000. Yeah, it's out of 1,000. The glossy, right?
The glossy. I was up 50%, and I think that it was up last week, and I think it might even continue that behavior because it was up last week because Alcaraz actually lost. He lost early in the week to Zverev. And, dude, I don't know if you saw – did you see Zverev's injury?
Yeah.
That was sickening. How – you never see that, like, in tennis – It, like but anyway, so the Nadal card was up 50% last week, and then he won the French Open. Almost looked like it was a joke to him, but he's the best. I love Nadal.
French Open is his tournament, and he just now he won another major, you know, won another Grand Slam. So he puts his record even further than you know what was Federer, Djokovic, these guys. But can I tell you a counterpoint on this one? You're the tennis guy. This has nothing to do with tennis.
It's a 24,000 is a little high.
No. I mean, I think you might be right about the 24 and the 24,000 that it's at. It's in line with the sale from May of the PSA 10. But take a look at our friend's Slab Stocks Instagram. Okay. Take a look at what do you say?
So
if you take a look at there, so this is one of those things, guys, where, you know, you have to look at what's out there, and I wouldn't be surprised to see a drop this week in this item. And here's why. The same card in BGS 9.5 sold on Golden Auctions last night. And it sold for, I think it was either $6,000 or $8,000.
$6,000.
Same card in BGS 9.5. So if you're a holder of this item and you're like, wow, okay, you know, I got it at a 24,000 market cap. The May sale might be an outlier. Look what's going on here. We have, you know, we have this one, 9.5. I know BGS doesn't sell for as much as PSA, but $6,000, it's 25% of the price. You gotta be scared. Here's what you need to know. That one that's over $6,000, BGS didn't label it as glossy. On the slab, it doesn't say glossy. And in the listing on Golden last night, it didn't say that it was glossy. So that's there's two versions of the card, right? The glossy and the non-glossy. Somebody got a steal on this last night buying it because it wasn't described as a glossy. I don't think. I mean, you can take a look at the Golden listing yourselves, guys. But people do, that's the Slam Stocks post. So people do just look at headlines. We've talked about that on the show all the time. Everything from, you know, the Gretzky card selling for X, but the cards look different. A PSA 8 is not the same as a PSA 9. All PSA 9s are not the same. On this one, the headline coming into this week is Nadal 9.5 sells for $6,000. Is your PSA 10 really worth 10? But if you read the actual story, the reason why this card sold for $6,000 was because it people didn't realize that they were bidding on the same card and realize they were bidding on a glossy.
And honestly, you guys could have got this card so much earlier. I've been talking about Nadal for maybe the last 6 months. And just to give you guys a correction, it's out of 100, Cage.
100, yeah.
So out of 100. Very, very rare card of the great. Really cool card, too. Kind of this aerial pose of him serving. Love to see it, bro. So what stuck out to you, man? Anything you want to bring up?
Listen, Gleyber Torres down 24% this week. His Bowman Chrome Orange Refractor. Can you take a look at that one? One of the three largest down cards. And people just look at home runs. And he's getting playing time because there are some injuries. And he's now got 10 home runs on the season, which I think is more than he had all last year. That is all people care about. And if you got a middle infielder who plays second base, who's going to hit, I mean, I think today they hit the one-third part of the season, right? So Judge has like 21 home runs. You know, he's on pace for 63. This guy, as a middle infielder, is on pace to hit 30 home runs. And, you know, not a lot of middle infielders do that in the league. You know, so this is one of those sneaky plays where people are, you know, it's been beaten up, but it got beat up again this past week. And, you know, if he turns it on, starts getting on base a little bit more, they give him a chance as a middle infielder to actually hit and, you know, produce in that crazy lineup. The Yankees look like going to be playing meaningful baseball in October. You know, Gleyber is getting some hits here and there. It might be one to kind of, you know, stash away a little shares in it here. And as he's getting some headlines, people looking for something like this. Shoot.
It's interesting Judge isn't on collectible, but Gleyber is.
Yeah, I mean, Judge.
21 home runs. It's insane.
Yeah, he's got a lot of home runs.
Do you ever do this? Okay, this is where you and I are different. So I like to catch a run. So I would be buying Judge now. You like to buy Judge 4 years ago before anyone knows about him and hope if you hit right.
Yeah.
Any chance you ever played like the catch the run?
Yeah, I mean, chain runners.
It worked out once in NFT land. It was one weekend. You told me it was luck and it would never happen again.
So there you go. I mean, there's one for you that you know of because you were involved in the same run.
And then we tried with chain faces and then chain.
It didn't work on any of the other ones. No, I mean, listen, I think you're right. You know, as far as what I like, you know, it's not just that I like to be, you know, in the money. I like to be right about it. And, you know, anybody can buy Aaron Judge right now. And usually the reason why I'm not buying when he's doing well or on a run is because that's when everybody's buying, which is creating the run. You know, you kind of want to be in stuff before people get in it. And then you're selling to them when they're getting in it. Because, I mean, he'll get cold. The team will get cold. You know, these kind of runs, they don't usually last the whole season. I mean, through 35 games to have 20 home runs as a Yankee has been done by Mantle and Maris in 1961 when Mantle got hurt at the end of the season. He had 50-something. And Maris, that's the season he hit 61 home runs and broke the record of Ruth, who's the only other Yankee who did it, I think, 5 times. So, you know, through a third of the season, he's in pretty rarefied company there, you know, with Maris, Mantle, and Ruth. I don't know whether he keeps it up for the whole time. This is a big dude who has had a hard time staying healthy during his tenure in the majors. He plays the field. They have him playing center every once in a while. You know, they're going to have to try to give him a break. You know, they're not going to like – him hitting 65 home runs is less important than him hitting 55 and winning a World Series. So, you know, interesting stuff. Interesting stuff. I don't know about Judge, but you know what I do know about? Zion Williamson. Let's talk about that buyout. Would you have voted to take that if you were a shareholder, or would you have rejected it?
How much was the IPO?
Let's set it out. The IPO was $129,000 in October of 2020. So the buyout of $75,000 would have been, you know, basically the trading price is about $70,000 right now. the buyout would have been about down 44% from IPO. He's currently trading at 45% down.
I mean, you got to think, like, these are retail people, right? So people are maybe into it for $1,000 at most. Most people are in it 1, 2, 3, 500 range. Do they, you know, let's say you invested $500. It's down 44%. You have $300. Do you really want to pull out and, okay, you have this $300, or do you're like, I'm already in, let it ride, let's see what happens type of thing? So if it's my card and I need $77,000, that's a lot of money. And if I'm all, if that's my investment, I would probably sell. But if it's a series of these little micro investments where people put in $500, $200, $300, they're obviously willing to be a little riskier. And in that sense, if I'm kind of putting myself in the shoes of a retail investor, I probably wouldn't sell.
Okay. Fair. I mean, it's fair. I think the reason why somebody put a buyout in now is because, you know, people think that this is as low as Zion's going to go. And, you know, you try to buy him now and, you know, hope that he comes back healthy and, you know, has a little bit of a run, which is the same reason why I think people rejected it. Because, like, if I held this long, why am I going to, you know, I could have sold before, you know, like, I'm not going to take this now.
I don't totally agree with that sentiment, though. It's like, this is the lowest Zion can go. No, this is the lowest LeBron can go. This is the lowest Jordan can go, because they already have a foundation of a collector base and accomplishments. That card could be $0. There is a Dennis Smith Jr. National Treasures card that can't even get bids for $100. So to just because he's the first pick doesn't make him infallible. And in fact, I think it makes him even more fallible. He has more of the spotlight, more pressure. There's only as many screw-ups as the market could handle.
So we got infallible versus fallible. You think he's fallible. It's like, you know, how come things are underwhelming and overwhelming but never just whelming? Is that where we are with this one here?
Dude, I don't even know what I'm saying half the time.
All right. Well, listen, I know what you're saying. On this one, I do know what you're saying. You're saying that Zion is filled with more hot air than Krispy Kremes right when they're being baked. I get it. And he has to do something, because I shouldn't say his cards can't go down. This is as low as they're going to go, because maybe he comes back and blows out a tire again in his first week of, you know, of preseason basketball or, you know, team workouts. And you're like, eesh. You know, and think about it. Right now, the discussion with the team is that he is potentially going to get an NFL-style contract offered to him where the money's not guaranteed. You know, in NBA, they give you, like, guaranteed money. You know, maybe one of these where they structure it in a way where, you know, he gets that money if he plays a certain amount of games or he's still on the roster and that kind of stuff, you know, which doesn't happen in the NBA. And it's something you would have thought would have been ridiculous to talk about this with Zion when he came into the league. You know, he was like a clear-cut max contract, got to keep him forever. So interesting stuff. Here's one fun one that I like to do on these. Let's do some comps for folks. And, you know, the golden auction, there was one that ended last
one
night.
One last thing on Zion.
Yeah, shoot,
please. Just remember, Embiid had a similar start to his career, and now Embiid is dominating. So he can go that route.
Also, leg injuries. Embiid did not come into the league with the fanfare that Zion did. And, yes, Embiid is doing great, and I hope Zion, you know, I'm pulling for the guy, because Zion has so much hype and money behind him that if he does what Embiid's doing, his price is going to go crazy. But what we like to see now is the other part about this buyout, and the other part about what you're saying with Zion is this market, especially for young people, it's built on that momentum. It's built on he comes in, does something good, does something else good, makes the playoffs, helps his team, you know, wins an MVP, you know, gets to the championship game, eventually gets to a title. About, you know, you saw it with Giannis building up over time, right? You're seeing it now with – you saw it with Mahomes. You're seeing it now with a Josh Allen or a Joe Burrow or a Luka or a Ja. You know,
where you kind of get a likable athlete that overperforms and everybody who invests at these different levels profits type of thing.
Keep it running. It's almost like one of those like NFTs that, you know, people bought in and everybody's been making money the whole way up. Everybody's happy. Everybody's a fan until it takes a tumble, you know, until Justin Herbert doesn't make the playoffs. And maybe he doesn't make them again this year and the bandwagon pulls over in San Diego and jumps on in Cincinnati or Kansas City or wherever the bandwagon
is going
to go.
Have you seen Herbert? He's training. He's really fit right now.
Every single quarterback in the NFL is in the best shape of their life right now.
He could throw like 100 yards.
Jamarcus Russell could throw the ball 65 yards from the one knee. And he did a lot of good for the Raiders in the NFL.
He couldn't sleep. Sleep apnea is no joke, Cage. You know that.
He couldn't sleep because he was breathing in donuts like this in his sleep. That dude, he just couldn't get healthy, that dude. He signed his contract and started eating.
So you know what worries me sometimes? Even in vintage, we see these run-ups and corrections. And Jackie Robinson's market, I think it kind of went a little bit crazy for a vintage market. That's mm-hmm. the bats. That's his cards. And you saw a little bit of a correction, even in a beautiful card with a PWCC eye appeal. The 1948 Leaf PSA 3.5 was down 26% this week, which is, for vintage, that's a big drop. That's a big drop for vintage. So, you see that stuff when you see excessive run-ups and kind of correct. So that's what I think about that one. What else, Cage?
So one of the fun things I think that you're talking about now, when you started your story about don't buy the eights, you know, you shouldn't be buying Montana eight, you shouldn't be buying Jerry Rice eight, you know, and you explained how, you know, that's not the way to go. You should be buying the lower number stuff. And I think what you're trying to tell people who have their money on collectible or thinking about putting money on collectible and trading is there are assets like those silvers that don't fit in that bucket, right? A Montana 8 is very different than a Montana 10, right? A Rice 10 versus a Rice 8. Same kind of thing with a couple of items that ended in the SCP auction last night. Now, guys, this is important, right? Because where your comps come from matters, right? The golden comps seem to be, you know,
where your comps come from matters.
Yeah, because not a well, that's a shirt. It really does. Really, I mean, so think about it. PWCC, a lot of eyeballs on it, a lot of bids. So your comps are PWCC golden. Your comps are usually going to be a little bit higher on those. If I'm selling my cars, I'm going to use those guys to sell because more people who are in the hobby know about them. Well, we did an episode with SCP's owner David Kohler within the last 2 weeks to talk about this auction that he had. I was getting messages saying, thanks for telling me about this. I've been in the hobby for decades. I never even knew this guy existed. I'm sure David's doing fine. He's got some pretty sweet Kobe stuff and had some great auctions. $1 million items end in his auction, 7-figure items. But people did not look at it. And that is, it's worth noting because I'm going to tell you some comps that ended in his auction last night that fall into your category, exactly what you were talking about, right? So let's start first with the 1980 Topps Larry Bird, Julius Erving scoring leader, the PSA 8 basket that is on, very similar to your silver basket, right? So in PSA 8, there are a lot of these. In PSA 9, there's over 600 of these, right? So PSA 8, there are no shortage of these cards. Great card. I love the card. I owned a 9 myself at one point in time. Don't anymore. I will be buying back in as they come down. But the basket is at, it's two of them. It's currently trading at $22,000. You want to take a guess what the PSA 8 sold at in SCP last night?
I sent it to you.
By the way, newly, newly graded too.
With a few hours left.
So it ended with its buyer's premium. So full all-in $3,505. So it's worth noting, and this is not one of these where it's like a bad card. It doesn't have any marks on it. It looks like it would have been a 9 a year ago. It's got a 6.3 PSA slab on it, so it's recently graded. And so, you know, if that's $3,500, a basket of two is $7,000, and the basket's trading at $22,000 on collectible. Just something to note if you happen to be in that item, because it's one of those things that is exactly what you were talking about. Taking it up a notch now.
I hear the fractional detractors. I want to have a conversation about that. So, like, they're here saying, like, look at this Zion come in at the top. You know, IPO'd at 120,000. Now it's 77. This IPO'd, you know, near 20 for the basket. Now it's, you know, 7,000. Both parties would be losing, the way I understand it. If you bought in on fractional, you would lose. But also, if you bought in a PSA 8 when they were at the top, you would also 100%. Be down, right? Am I misreading that?
Yeah. I mean, the IPOs are based on what the value of that card is when it IPOs. I mean, like anything else, if anybody is a detractor of it, you just look at, you know, buying fractional, not buying fractional. At least a Zion that was bought in the fall of 2020 versus a Zion being bought now. Look at the price on any of them, you know? So, you know, being down 44% is actually probably not that bad.
Guys, and I bring that up because I want to hear from you. let us know in the comments. Am I seeing that right? Is, you know, is the market down equally for the guys that are, you know, retail guys on fractional as they would be for someone who owned the, you know, the full out card? Or am I seeing something different? Let us know in the comments. I'm curious.
So three more comps from SCP, if you don't mind. Two of them are good indicators of, you know, right, accurate, you know, little low sale price, but, you know, fine for collectible. Number one, the Johnny Unitas PSA 8, which is currently trading at $14,000 on collectible. It ended in SCP very close to that at $12,433. So right in range, you know, basically 10% lower than what it's trading at for collectible. Similarly,
I love plays like that. I love plays that are resilient to the downside. And like, we always use documentaries, but a Johnny Unitas documentary would be really fascinating because his card prices are stable. They have a collector base, but I would say 99.5% of the general population doesn't know much about him.
Johnny U. Yeah, I think you're right. And it's one of those like savings bond types of plays. One that is becoming that type of play, the Jordan rookie in BGS 9-5. The basket of two on collectible is $105, making them $52,000 each, $52,500. One ended at $46,600 in SCP. So that would be like $93,000, $94,000, right in line, you know, within 10% of the collectible. Here's one that is an interesting comp, though, and keep in mind, we're going to go into memorabilia now. So each item is unique in and of itself. But on collectible, there is a Kobe Bryant 96 rookie game worn and signed sneakers. I don't know if you want to pull those up and you can look at them by comparison, because that's trading. I mean, that one exited at 152.5. Yeah, 152.5.
You know who that sold to?
Who did it sell to?
You know, the Black American Express, like, handle sports card EX.
So he exited those at $152,000. The one on SCP. So nice job, shareholders. No. Right, the one on SCP, which is cool. These were Adidas, you know, Adidas sneakers. Their rookie season, Mears authentic JSA PSA, all that stuff. It's over $64,300. So you're looking at the Nikes, which are really awesome. Again, remember being very different shoes. On SCP, it's the Adidas black and white stripe ones that sold.
Oh, Kobe, okay. Right here.
Dual sign rookie. $64,313 they sold for on SCP. So it's just an interesting comp. You know, the one on collectible exited for double that, basically. So you want me to send you a link? So you just have it. There you go. You have it.
Right,
the
here.
Ones on the far left.
64.
64,313. Yep.
Hmm. Can you believe he used to wear those, Cage?
They're pretty gross. I will say that. I mean, I would wear these, but the fact that an NBA star would wear them is a little different.
They're clunky, right?
So, and guys, I would feel slightly remiss if I didn't mention one more, because we've spent a couple of episodes talking about Tiger Woods, you know, putters and golf clubs and the whole deal. There was on SCP, this is a weird one, right? Because it's his personal 1996 U.S. amateur champion, Scotty Cameron putter, his first victory putter ever created for Tiger Woods. It says 96 U.S. amateur champion on it. I guess that makes it an XRC putter. It only sold for $30,000, including the buyer's premium. Which, you know, as you guys know, there is a tournament used putter, a little different, tournament used putter from the late 1990s on collectible that's at $755,000. I have to mention this because I know they're not the same item, but it's a Tiger Woods putter and a Tiger Woods putter, and one sold for what amounts to 5% of what the other one's at, less than 5% of the price. So it's something I need to mention to you guys because it is a sale. It is a comp of a Tiger Woods putter. Was not used in an actual PGA event, obviously. It was, you know, 1996 amateur putter. But it does have some interesting, you know, story to it, being the first putter created for him, you know, and that kind of stuff. It's just one to note. Again, not identical. It's like Nike versus Adidas.
If you were to buy this stuff, would you keep it at like a PWCC vault, or would you have your own like man cave with all this stuff?
I mean, most of my higher end stuff is at the PWCC vault. I will say that. But if you had like memorabilia stuff, that's a little different. You know, like you know, if I had Tiger Woods putter like this one that's sold for $30,000, I would probably give it to my son tomorrow to take out to the golf course and be like, here you go, sink some putts, man, go for it. Use Tiger Woods putter from 1999. I would probably keep that one.
You know what's interesting?
Show it to people.
There's no right way to collect. That's what I'm learning. Everyone's no, different. Kate, we collect for different reasons. Some people love the display. I mean, you're a display guy.
Certain things, you know, you like to display. Display the guns. Display the guns, you know.
All right, what
so
else?
Golden last night, the Michael Jordan rookie card sold for $222 with the buyer's premium. The collectible trading price was down last week almost 10% to $220, right on where the Golden auction ended. So that's a comp for you. That's right in line with where you are. An interesting one that we've been talking about that I think, you know, I'm curious to hear what you have to say. It actually held up and did pretty well. The Kevin Durant PSA 10 refractor. We've talked about this one a bunch of times. It's trading on collectible at 16.2. It's over 13 and change in Golden last night. Do you think that one's got a little more downside to it, Durant? Or you think that, you know, people like him and expect him to come back? Shoot.
You walk around New York City.
I do.
You ask 100 people this question. Now, who's George Gervin?
Right.
What would they say?
About 5 of them would say the Iceman. You know, he was.
Who did
the
Iceman play for?
A lot of people wouldn't know. They wouldn't know. They would. I mean, he played. You know, he played mostly. I would say the people who know him would probably say Spurs. Tough, right?
I think that we forget very quickly, and there's like a few people that live in infamy, and then the rest are sort of forgotten. I got to tell you, man, the more I get to watch Durant, I just think he'll be forgotten. I think he will be forgotten. Not in the sense that he won't be in like the top 20, top 10. He will. But so is Tim Duncan. And he is forgotten in the terms that we're talking about here.
I am not going to argue with you. I think you're 100% right. But think about that, though. I mean, Durant was somebody who wasn't, who wasn't going to ever be forgotten about. He was going to score 50 points. He was going to be crazy. He was going to do all that fun stuff. And, you know, he's going to win with the Nets. He was inches away from beating the Bucks. And, you know, would it matter to you if he went out there and won a championship last year? Would it matter to you if he goes out and wins one this year? You think the people who are buying his cards are betting on him actually winning one now?
Excuses are like assholes. Everyone's got one, right? Or almost doesn't count, only in horseshoes or some shit like that. Almost don't like they don't you know they just
they
don't
almost counts in horseshoes and hand grenades is what they say.
Horseshoes and hand grenades. And just for you guys out there who don't know George Gervin, he was in the league for I think almost 17 years.
Well, he was an ABA guy, right? I think he started with the Virginia Squires, sort of like Dr. J did, but he came in and played for San Antonio, right?
Came in, played for San Antonio, ABA merged with the NBA in 1977, and he averaged 27 points a game, 30 points a game, 33 points a game, 28 points a game, 32 points a game. So, and my point with that is no one even remembers George Gervin.
And synonymous with the finger roll. That was his thing. The finger, like Eddie Jones would emulate this guy. And then another name that was forgotten, a little hot name there, Eddie Jones, and nobody cares about it anymore. Hey, it's interesting stuff, I tell you. So, anything else you are curious about? Anything else you wanna hear about? You wanna talk about? I will say this: the one other little noteworthy thing that's on there is, guys, memorabilia is tough, right? So I'm gonna give you comps like I did with that Tiger Woods, like we did with the Kobe sneakers. Memorabilia is tough because not every item is exactly the same, right? So this is close. And I have to bring it to you guys because just like the Tiger Woods putter selling for $30,000 is very different than the $755,000 value for the Tiger Woods on collectible, the Luka game used and photo matched Dallas Mavericks rookie season. You know, rookie. So the one that we have on collectible is a rookie game worn for 9 games. and it's got a value of approximately $400,000, $399,200. One sold last night on Golden, right? It is a rookie jersey. It's been photo matched, I believe, to a game against Sacramento where he had a triple-double, but they lost. I think it's only been photo matched by, you know, by to that specific game. Blue jersey, you know, the same 77, the whole nine yards. Triple-double lost to, you know, rookie game to Sacramento. I bring it up because what do you think, man? Obviously, it's not nine games a rookie year, so that's better. But this is a triple-double. It's a loss. So you would think it's going to be a little less. But $399,200, how much do you think this one sold for?
$45,000.
$114,000.
Wow. I would even say that's overpriced. I do not rate modern memorabilia at all.
So, you know, it's just one to look at, guys, if you're in on the Luka. At 400, Andrew has never been a fan of this one anyway, but now you have a comp. There obviously are not that many game-worn Luka jerseys since the one on collectible was worn for one-ninth of the season.
Kate. You know?
Yes, shoot.
Let's have fun. Come on.
Like, let's have fun.
Let's not bullshit people. Let's not bullshit a bullshitter. When people are buying the Jordan rookie card, which one do you tell them to stay away from? The Nike promo card. Why?
I do. I say stay away from them because you never know how many are out there, and I'm of the belief that there's so many of them still to be graded.
Here's 10. Here's 10 more.
So I think that's still going on.
Maybe there's no more game worn Lukas because his best friend has 44 of them in their closet.
Signed by his mom?
Yeah, and Lameem. No, I mean, like, it's a modern jersey. It's not Jordan's jersey, you know? It's not Kobe's. It's not Wilt, where you're like, this one's not – you're not going to see this again. Luka's going to have a game-worn jersey for eternity, man. And when people see the value, now they know what – now they're going to deduce what future value is from the second year and third year. And, oh, well, these are his rookie shoes. And then here's, you know, Jason Tatum's Kobe Bryant blue – what are they called? The sweatband on his elbow. You know, that's the only one he's ever worn. I'm not a big fan of modern memorabilia. I think it has way more downside than it has upside. By the way, the Tatum slander is so stupid.
Okay, why?
You followed like the he dressed up to Boston?
Yeah, he had what Kobe was wearing for his Boston tryout. Well, I'm wearing Crew Jones today. I'm going to go out and ride my BMX bike to a championship at Helltrack.
Have you ever been like a lawyer that like is in court and has like pressure situations? Do you get nervous?
I don't want to lie. Sure. Depending upon what the situation is and what's at hand. Sure.
So, and you know, everyone has like different triggers. Like some people, when they put on that suit, they gel back their hair. They're like, damn, you look good. That gets them a little confidence, right? That's probably you. But the point is, dude, this is the biggest series of his entire life.
Yep.
And any little thing he could do to trigger and get himself a little more focused, a little more motivated, right? Because it's a game of inches. The other team wants to win too. Any little thing that he does that could help him, why not try if it has no downside and it does something for him? Like, this is my Kobe jersey. I put it on here for a reason. Dude, I love this jersey. Anytime, like, I need a little pick-me-up, I'll throw it on. It gives me good – it's good vibes. People have like bracelets that they put on or necklaces. I don't know. Like
Lincoln Hawk would turn his hat backwards.
It's triggers. Some people snap. Some people whistle. Some people have to do jumping jacks. Everyone has different shit, but I don't know how you could criticize a young guy to try to get a little more edge in the most important series of his life.
I think I'm with you, man. Let the kid do what he wants to do. He wants to text Kobe. That's great. Steph wants to text, you know, Chris Paul. Also fine.
With the real Chris Paul.
So speaking of Kobe jerseys, what do you know about the white jerseys? What do you know about the white Christmas jerseys?
Thank you for asking.
So Collectible has one, a Kobe debut white number 24 jersey from the title season, if you want to pull that up. We can take a look at that one. Again, guys, lots of comps, and there's even more comps. You know, we can't go through all of them. Take a look at when auctions end. A lot of auctions ended this past weekend. Take a look, because it's, you know, it's very telling. Not every card is down, but, you know, if you're in the market, you should know, it's not fractional. The space is down from where it was last year at this time. A lot of these items that IPO'd last year, you know, they IPO'd in a market that was frothier. And that's the case for people who are going out and getting funding now, who we speak with. It's a case for, you know, for everything related to the hobby. Right now is a little bit of a lull. I expect that to change. Probably pretty quickly.
I've learned this from you, Cage.
Shoot.
I actually think when we come on here and say the market's in a lull, I think it's like it's a lagging measure. I think it's a 30, 60-day thing. And what I see is an influx of supply.
Okay, that makes sense.
That's actually what causes it. It's too more supply than demand. It's actually quite simple. But like if you look at weekly auctions, auction houses, I just feel like there is more stuff hitting the market.
I think you're right, especially lower-end stuff. But even some of these, you know, unique pieces, memorabilia is an interesting thing, man, because, you know, the collectible space, you know, how are you supposed to know what a white debut number 24 title season jersey is? Can you pull that up for me? Are you able to find it?
The page isn't loading for me.
Take your time. I mean, I'm just curious what year it is. You know, say title season. What years did Kobe win his titles with a white jersey? What were his later 2000. Titles?
He won 2002, 2003.
Okay.
So and, then 2009, 2010.
Okay, so the white jersey, you know, obviously this is a title season, white jersey. I was curious, you know, to have some details on it. The reason why, as Andrew's looking to pull that up, is believe it or not, this was white jersey was worn on Christmas by Kobe, December 25th, 2012, in a game where I think they played on national TV, Christmas game. Kobe scored 34 points. And beat, I think, the Knicks, it says. That ended last night on Golden. So I'm gonna tell you the Golden one.
This is 06-07. This is when he put up 35 points a game.
So this, the one that you're looking at here is different. So that's a white jersey, just a white Lakers jersey. Golden actually had the alternate white, like, Christmas jersey. It's like white on white. It's a really cool
Oh, you wanted me to pull up Golden.
No, this is fine because the one on collectible, it's again, guys, we're talking about memorabilia here. It's not exactly apples to apples comparison, but I do have to, you know, point out what, you know, what's sold when a Kobe white jersey sells. It's a comp. The one on collectible is at $296,700. So almost $300,000 for the Kobe white. They say a debut white from 06. It's a title season. It's got a lot of good reasons why it's $400,000 or why it's $300,000. The one from Christmas Day 2012, that obviously the later one, it sold for $188,400 with buyer's premium. So it wasn't $50,000, it wasn't $20,000, but it's another, you know, photo match specific game, Kobe white jersey, white on white. If you want to pull up the gold, you can. It's no big deal. But just another, you know, comp that's out there. $188,000 versus $300,000, very different items. The one on Golden was a later item. So just, you know, noteworthy. What are you looking at there?
I like this, man. So this is his first title in 2000 with Shaq. Mm-hmm. And it's, so this is like his practice top. And what's cool about this is like with the jerseys, you wear them a few times and then you're done, right? This is something you wear basically throughout a whole season.
Right.
So this is pretty cool. And he signed it. This is from his 2000-2001 first ring ceremonies, NBA finals game worn jacket. And here it says it was worn throughout the 2001 NBA season. So,
can I talk about one that's a little interesting play on collectible, and then we can kind of let these folks go? Believe it or not, the 86-87 Fleer box. You know, that was one of those things when the market was good, people were opening these things, right? Drake opened with, you know, with Ken Gold, people opening these things up. And when people open them, there's less and less of them out there. And one sold on Golden last night in this lull, in this downish market for $168,000, which is approximately 5% more than the one that's trading for on collectible at $160,000. So collectible price is a little lower. Shoot.
Breakers have money and they want to differentiate and they want free marketing. And these boxes, like, I know you don't got to disclose, but I wouldn't be surprised if some of the young breakers start gobbling these up. They have the cash flow.
You want me to keep going with comps or you want me to, or you want me to cut it off?
I'm not your boss, Cage.
All right. So we'll do one more because, listen, I like to make
do
sure
one more. He gonna do one.
But this one you're not going to like if you happen to be in it.
What do you think, LeBron James? But I understand it's the time to buy.
What do you think of Dwayne Wade? Does he fall into the same category as Durant to you?
I bought my first gold.
Oh, really?
I bought a Dwayne Wade gold. Do you want to see it?
Sure. I definitely want to see it.
So what do I love Dwayne Wade, dude. You know, he in his third season, he was 22 years old and he won a championship as the best player. Dude, the guy is an alpha.
Dwayne Wade.
Tim Grover speaks very highly of Dwayne Wade.
And so does Grover Cleveland Alexander. I mean, all of the Grovers that I know of, Super Grover, crashing into the wall, loves Dwayne Wade.
Are you guys ready for this? I've never shown off my cards. This is exciting.
I was in Cancun when Dwayne Wade was in the Final Four, you know, one of my spring breaks in college. And I remember watching at a bar near the pool, and the guy just kept saying, aye, 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 Dwayne Wade. Aye, 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 Dwayne Wade. It was really funny. And Dwayne Wade just kept scoring every single time. Look at you, $346. So, oh, man. I mean,
not terrible, right?
That's a, yeah, I mean, that's 10 a out of 10 real, cereal. It's a real nice card. It's a really nice card.
I've spent $300 on worse things, like betting women's tennis at midnight.
Don't say this. That's terrible. It's, we don't want to hear that. Very
unpredictable. You could have a girl, she won the first set like 6-0. Next set, she's up 3-1, gets pissed, and then the other chick wins.
So quietly and not on screen, this way all of your emails don't pop up. I just sent you an email link to something, and I'm going to start talking. So, Dwayne Wade. You like Dwayne Wade. I like Dwayne Wade. I think Dwayne Wade is a great player, but he is exactly the guy that we talk about who could end up in the top 75, top 100, top 50 players of all time. But for cardboard, it doesn't matter. And also in these situations, these times, Dwayne Wade – so there you go. You beat me to the punch. So Dwayne Wade, even his best cards, they're overlooked. People are dumping them. So pull up collectible for me and type in Dwayne Wade Ultimate Rookie Auto, that card. And you'll notice, guys, the 2003 for Upper Deck Ultimate Collection Dwayne Wade signed rookie card.
It's a black label, Cage.
Yeah, very different. Very different. Right, so black label.
Wow.
Yeah, black label 30
premium.
So there is black label is a very different story. We have to make sure again, not apples to apples. It's a little apples to orange. The black label Dwayne Wade is at 33.2. Last night, a gold label 10-10 on Golden sold for less than $5,000. So you got the gold versus the black. Obviously, black is. It's got an amazing premium to that. Not a lot of them at all.
This isn't a 10 auto.
Uh-oh, there you go. See, this is the fun stuff. Anyway, it's just one to note because it's a...
Am I right, though, Cage?
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. The auto is not the greatest auto on earth. Hopefully one of our listeners is not the person who bought it and is now mad at us for pointing out that auto. It is what it is. We just tell you what we see, folks. We don't make the autos. We don't sign Dwayne Wade's autos. Yeah. Luca's mom does. And dude, so, man,
people could get upset with us, but they can't really question that we don't speak the truth of what our truth is.
Well, I never liked the phrase, I'm going to speak our truth, because I believe there is only a truth.
Really? You don't think there's a lot of different truths?
I do not. I think something's true and something's false. And when somebody starts talking about their own truth, it makes it subjective instead of objective. And I don't like that. It's either true or it's not. Our truth, I'm going to speak my truth. Okay. Is it the truth? Because if not, yeah, then your truth is a lie.
Using that example, let's say take someone who's looked at autos for 30 years. Mm-hmm. And their truth is like, no, this is the top 90% auto. This still qualifies as a 10. This is a good auto because I've seen autos and the material on this card, you know, this is good. So their truth is that this is a good auto.
That's not a truth. That's a horrible use for that. That's my expert
Pump
opinion.
Pump the brakes. Pump the brakes.
That's my expert opinion if you want to do it. So, guys, a quick segment because it's episode 700, a little longer on the fractional, but we want to do it justice for episode 700. Just looking at the numbers, you know how I like to do this. Forget about the comps for a second. Looking at the numbers on the charts, right? I like to do this without telling you what the card is. I like to just look at the charts, what's been beaten up, what's down, what's crazy, and why. A new low has been set. a significantly new low for a card that was trading. We can get the market value on this one here. You know, this was a card that was trading during the high and the peak for, you know, near $5 a share. I think it got up as high as 4.95 per share. Currently trading at $1.55 per share. How many shares are there? There are 9,125 shares. So you're talking about now a Willie Mays 1960 Topps PSA 9. Willie didn't do anything this week to drop his card value from $1.95 a share to $1.55 a share, down 40 cents or almost approximately 20%. No reason for that other than people just looking to liquidate. I like looking for those. Willie Mays is a stud. There are not a lot of Willie Mays cards in PSA 9. That's one to take a look at. If you're just looking at charts for, you know, people who have maybe tried to exit a card, try to get a little liquidity. We already talked about the Glaber Orange. That showed up on my holy cow, look at the chart. Why the heck did this go from 525 a share down to 399? We've already spoken about that one, so it's just one of those things that happens. You want to take a look at the chart for me of the 03 Fleer Crystal Trio rookie PSA 10. Now, we've talked about this card, and we've talked about it being too high a price. We've showed comps, you name it. That's the LeBron, Wade, Melo, Fleer, Crystal Trio, rookie PSA 10. You know, there were other sales. It was significantly higher. But take a look at what the chart did this week. And you just pull up like a one-week chart or a one-month chart or whatever it is for the Crystal. And, I mean, is that – what are you looking at? Yeah. It went from $10 a share to 4.8 a share, which is pretty not so great.
In the last 6 months?
No, in the last week is what the data shows. So pull it up for me. I guess I could be wrong. I don't think so.
1 week it's 475 to 480. I think it's skewed data.
Okay. So the data is not right. Sorry, folks.
I'll tell you, this card without the numbering, without the crystal, but it's the same exact card. It's also come down. It's, you know, I've seen people story selling it for $3,000 or best offer. It's
that's an interesting.
You know, card. It's a card that people I think wanted to make it into the 1980, 1981 card, but just with, I don't know.
And you didn't like this one because the crystal version of it. It's just the same card as everything else, but they just threw a number on the back. It looks the same.
Yeah, it would have been cool if they made it gold or something. They changed the parallel, but I guess that's super tacky too to some people.
So I don't want to.
We all have different truths.
I don't want to quote the numbers again because they could be wrong. But can you just do one more for me because it's soccer and we got World Cup and the soccer playing sure. World Cup qualifiers? Can you pull up that Ronaldo 1/1 that we've talked about a couple times?
Yep.
And just take a look at the chart on that one. Because, you know, now I'm doubting all of my data.
Don't doubt. It's not good for your skin.
That's what I do. I doubt now.
Yeah, this one did. This one had a fell off a cliff from $3.26 to $1.70. Almost down almost 50%, maybe close to like 45% down. Is that right, Cage?
Yeah, down significant, right? Down to, you know, a buck and change a share. That is what it looks like from three and change a share.
No, so, dude, soccer's a buy. These teams are gearing up for the World Cup. I would say if there's one thing that's a buy, like maybe not the super, super high-end stuff, but Ronaldo, Messi, their teams are going to be in the World Cup, and that's 6 months away, 5 months away.
This was one that stuck out with me, and the data is actually right. This had a pretty horrible week of trading, and the value has come down significantly. So I don't want to be wrong with my data again here. Sorry. But yeah, look, guys, we're just under an hour. We appreciate you tuning in. Hopefully you get a little bit of an advantage on these things. You know, if you listen to this before the opening bell, we've been with you 700 episodes. We've done 40 something with collectible already, which is pretty crazy to think about. And yeah, we'll be here for you every Sunday night. That's it. Any final words for the 700? You know, I mean, you're more than twice as awesome as Leonidas.
What does that mean?
The 300. No.
Oh, the movie 300. I love that movie. We are Sparta.
That one. Exactly. There you go.
What do I have to say? Guys, we are ramping up a Whatnot consignment show, which is going to be epic. I'm leaning towards doing it like this, Tuesday through Friday, 5 to 6 p.m. every single day, just offering off awesome slabs. 1 hour, that's it. Hard stop at 6 p.m. Start at 5. I'm going to jump on at 4:50. So kind of like a little like after school slab special. Stay tuned. I think it's going to be kind of fun. Like, Cage is even coming around. He's like, this could be kind of cool. So that I know that's a win. It's awesome.
It's awesome. I'm very excited. We got
amazing messages from many of you guys in our community. Many of you guys are asking about free SGC submissions, which is truly amazing. Means that we did a good job. SGC did a good job of, you know, trying to give back something that people really, really use. We'll do our best to bring it back. But, you know, it's a nice feeling that whether you got 3, 4, 5 free submissions, you know, you got all 10s, you got a 10, a 9, and 8, you got your PC collection finally graded. It's nice that you guys like that, and we appreciate the messages. So those are the only two things, Cage. National, that's 7 weeks or 6 weeks away.
Whew, I'm getting excited. You getting excited?
Yeah, we got to plan some shit, so it's a
can't
lot
wait to
of work.
See what Collectible does. You know, you got Marino in charge probably, so, you know. He'll come up with something fun.
Yeah, maybe we should hire him. love you, Luka Nation.
Thank you for spending some time with us on another episode of the Lukas, Tigers, and Bronze Oh My podcast. Do us a favor and like, subscribe. Now, you know what? Don't just like and subscribe. Everybody does that. If you like us, tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your enemies, tell everybody. And we hope you got something from spending some time with us today, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.